Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Really excited to get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Talk about these Washington Capitals. Really good win last night. Feel like they needed that. Joining us now on the Rude Guest Hotline is our friend Brent Johnson. Of course, you can find him on X at JohnnyGoalie12. Johnny, what's up, man? How are you?
What up, JP? What up, B. Mitch? How you guys doing?
Man, we're good, brother. How you been, man?
I've been busy. Which is good, right?
You've definitely been busy.
That's a great thing right there, man.
Exactly. It's been doing lots of shows, getting lots of cracks at it. Now, like you guys said, the Caps finally got a win last night, which they really needed.
Yeah, man. You don't want to, like, over-concern yourself with a team that's been this good, and then they kind of have, you know, Ovi's chase kind of maybe, like, moves their focus a little bit for a stretch.
Yeah.
Were you ever concerned, like, or was last night just a good game that they needed to have?
I mean, I don't think that there was ever a panic. You know, no one was pushing buttons or anything like that. I was a little concerned with, you know, the way that they have kind of drifted into this, kind of allowing a lot of goals and then only getting goal scoring from one entity, that being Alex Ovechkin. I mean, over, like, it's crazy, but over, like, the last 9-10 games, he's got like 30% of the goals. So that was a little concerning. But on the other hand, like you guys said, everyone's focused on getting Ovi the puck. Like, how can we get it? Then,
right.
And were they really playing Capital hockey?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I kind of look at it that way. I don't think, like, you have to go into the last game tomorrow and be, you know, lights out, unbelievable. You had a good game to get you in it. I think you can go out there, play your game, try and work on a few things personally. But I don't think it needs to have to be the best game going into the playoffs.
But, like, what I feel like, you know, when they were going for the record for Ovi, yes, you've been taught. Your coaches are telling you we're going to play our regular type of hockey. You can say that all you want. Human nature, you want Ovi to get that record, and you start playing a little different. How long does it take when you know now that's over? We got to get back to playing. It takes a few games, doesn't it?
I would think so. You said it. It's like subconsciously, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going, hey, listen, yeah, everything's good. We're going to go out there. Look, we're ready. It's preparation is normal as usual. And then you get out there and then something just isn't firing the way it should, right? you're not back checking as hard, or you're not doing this, or you're not doing that. And we forgot to mention they've been so far beyond. They've had this thing locked up for over a month now, the Eastern Conference. So they probably just didn't hit that switch yet. And yeah, I'm with you, B-Mitch. It takes a couple games to get back into it. Granted, last night you gotta think neither team was really playing for anything. I think it was mostly a pride game for the Washington Capitals to go out there, show you can play a full 60 minutes, which they did.
And they definitely did. I thought Strome was really good in a time where they need somebody else to kind of step up and score, to your earlier point. Ovi and Willie, I think, are playing really well. We're talking with our friend Brent Johnson here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Of course, you can watch Brent on Monumental Sports Network's Capitals coverage. Give him a follow at JohnnyGoalie12. Where do you think, is it weird to be this late where every other playoff matchup, at least in the East and maybe even in the West, is set, and Washington still doesn't know if they're going to get Montreal or Columbus? Does that matter at all?
I mean, I guess you could argue, like, the more preparation you have to see and study video, maybe. I don't know. If it's Columbus, look, they just played them twice, right? They got Columbus's best game. They could give. And they're also riding the hottest goaltender in the NHL, I think 7 straight wins and, like, a goal against a game average. So he is – that Jet Greaves is unreal right now. So you know what you're going to get there. With Montreal, I mean, yeah, you haven't seen them in a little while, but I think you also know what they have. They have a lot of darters. They're a smaller team. They're not as sound defensively. The interior, I think Washington could pick them apart in the offensive zone. It's just got to play against Montreal. You got to play a great defensive game because they can score. And now you know exactly what Columbus can do because, man, they got some guys, Fantilli, Kent Johnson, Werenski on the blue line. They're very, very talented team. And on paper, they're unreal.
Right. It's and they're hot down the stretch here.
And they're hot. Dude, and they're hot, yeah.
In a back-to-back, granted it was a back-to-back, but they won those two games last weekend 11-1 combined. Like that, I don't know, man. That I'd like to play the other guy. I guess we'll find out.
Exactly. I think the playoffs, and we've all seen it, right? It doesn't really matter the sport. Playoffs is a different entity. It's the postseason for a reason. Guys are harder hitting. Guys are more into every single thing they do. The preparation is locked down. They got extreme focus, you know, whether they're staying at a hotel, when they're even in town, things like that. So it's just a whole nother game. So yeah, they're hot, Columbus. And if they do face them, yes, it could be, a little bit of a nail biter. I think it would be in the back of your mind that you would, that you just got beat, yes, 11-1 in two games. So, but I think that goes in like, hey, we're the Capitals. We're a fantastic team. We know exactly what we can do. If the Capitals play with emotion, if they play with a chip on their shoulder, I don't think there's a team that can beat them. It's when they kind of sit back and get on their heels and kind of watch the game is when, you know, teams kind of roll over them. And so I hope the Capitals, they're going to be waiting maybe tonight. We'll see, or could be waiting again till tomorrow to find out. But it's interesting. It keeps us all right on the edge.
Oh, yeah. But, Logan Thompson has been out for a minute now, and you're goalie. And when coming back from an injury, how many games will he need, or you think he will need, for him to get back to how he was throughout the year?
That's another good question. I think that really relies on the trust of the coach, because once cleared, any player is going to be like, all right, just get me out there. That's all I need is just get me out there. And so I would think that that trust from the coach, like saying, all right, he's dialed in. I'm looking at him in practice and he looks great. There's no cobwebs, no nothing. I would think it's just when he thinks he can go. Right now, and I don't know specifically what he is coming back from, whether it was when he took the puck up high to his head and then, waited a few minutes, then left the game in between periods way back when, or if it's a something different, upper body, you know, like they say. So whatever it may be, I think that that's probably the discussion between the coach and the goalie himself. And then you got to also remember Charlie Lindgren is the guy who got you there last year. Mm-hmm. And if he plays like he did down the stretch last year, and I would say he's got 20 wins on the year this year, and I don't think his numbers particularly speak to what he has done for the team. I think he's a fantastic option as well. So they have that shored up. I'm pretty sure they have that shored up. It's just the guys playing in front of them. And that's what it is. I want to take you guys right back to the beginning of the season. Logan Thompson's winning all these, and he looks fantastic. But he was also stopping breakaway after breakaway after 2-on-1 after 3-on-1. Well, was that just masking a little bit of what the goalie's playing so well? Was that masking a little bit of what the Capitals were kind of lacking defensively? It could have been.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, they let a few goals in here and they don't get the goaltending that they were getting. And now it's showing a little bit more. And so I hope that's not the case, but you never know. Hockey's so fickle and funny and weird that any one of those things could be happening.
It is true. They were. Just if you even look at the stats, like the goals against were so outrageously in their favor. And then,
right.
You know, even before the focus really became the streak, but like after Four Nations, the numbers didn't look quite as good, and you kind of saw it unfolding. Let's hope it gets all the way back, or they could just score enough that you don't have to have just the world's best goaltending to advance. I don't even want to ask that.
Yeah,
I don't even want to speak that into existence. I want to ask something else. So.
Yeah,
I love all the monumental coverage for the Caps. I can't imagine there's a local broadcast team more beloved than Joe B. and Locker. And I know Joe B.'s going through his voice stuff. He'll be back for the playoffs. Alan did a great job. John Walton's been doing a great job. The pre and post with you and Alexa and Tarek and DSP and Alan when he's on that. Like, it's just the Caps product is so dope. And I love hearing from Alan and Locker and everybody, but you actually played with Ovi for three seasons, right?
Yeah, four seasons.
Four seasons, pardon me.
Yeah.
Like, what was he like just as a teammate, as a dude? What was it like to share a dressing room with that guy?
Yeah, the first four seasons of his career, and I was just a 7-year vet at that time, I guess. And coming into Washington, you know, I can remember, you know, meeting all the guys, meeting Ole Kolzig, and then us kind of looking at each other when we get our first glimpse at Ovechkin on the ice and kind of like looking and being like, is this kid for real? Like, playing absolutely loose and heavy in practice. And we were like, God, this kid's got this like appetite, like this thirst for scoring, even when, like, even if you stop him in practice as his teammate, like back in the day, he used to get really pissed off and, you know, and that shows kind of like the champion spirit in him, or that thirst or appetite I was talking about, is that he just wants it. He really does. It's, there's just certain players that have that, I think. And they're, you know, one in a million, and the Washington city, the DMV, were just so lucky to get this zany, wacky kid who wears his heart on his sleeve, who will tell you anything straight to your face. Won't hide behind, let's say a language barrier or anything like that. He'll tell you exactly what he's thinking. And I think a lot of guys respect that. And, well, firsthand, I did respect that. And that's why I love him still to this day. I love watching him play. I get thrilled and excited just like I did when he was my teammate.
Mm-hmm. So for you then, talking with our friend Brent Johnson, former Caps goalie, now does a ton of awesome Caps work on Monumental Sports Network. You can give him a follow at JohnnyGoalie12. For you as a dude that is now a broadcaster and gets to enjoy Alex's play, you know, that way, but who played with him for 4 years, what did the goal record mean to you?
Well, looking back, it's so easy to say right now, but I mean, looking back, honestly, I think everyone looking at that record, and you heard it from Joe B and Locker at the start, right? Oh, you only have 874 more goals to go, Ovi, when they did that that famous call when he scored. It's like nobody thought that this was attainable, and and then through the years, right? Through the years, so we always were that, you know. I felt that way too. Let's just be honest. I felt that way too because Wayne Gretzky is this guy. He's on a mountain, right? He's like the Mount Rushmore of hockey, and
by
all
himself.
The faces are his.
And yeah.
And you know, I mean, and so I'm looking at it as a hockey lover from Detroit. I grew up. It was Wayne Gretzky and Steve Yzerman, and those two were like the it for me. And so I was like, this thing will never be touched. His assists, his points will never be touched. And then you go on and you get to 100 and 2 and 3, and next thing you know, you're at 7, and he's still going, and he's 35. And, you know, it's like, I don't know who came up with the phrase, the Russian machine never breaks. I don't know who was that. I don't know if it was Ovi himself.
I think
or
Alex did.
Somebody else. Yeah. So it's true. He literally called it. He does not break. At 39, he's slowed down, but his shot hasn't. His passion for scoring hasn't. And that is incredible. And there's no way that we could sit back there and watch a 19, 20-year-old kid and figure out just what he's going to do. Yes, he had some great first couple seasons, an unbelievable rookie year, but there's no way we could, you know, gather how well this guy was going to do and keep going for 20 straight years, 325 power play goals, 896 now goals. It was a surreal moment when he scored. I think for all of us who played with him, for all the fans, it was like, man, he got there, and he's still going, and it's just an incredible feat.
Do you think we get another season out of him?
I do.
All right.
Dude, I mean, I don't know personally. It's not like I called him and asked him if he's playing.
When I see him, I'm asking him.
yeah, ask him. I mean, to me, it would be a very nice swan song for him to go to every city and absolutely be beloved by all the fans, right? He could have another year. I mean, he could do another. He could. The guy, Russian machine, right? He can play as long as he wants. Someone's going to give him a contract. You know that. But I think he'll play a year, and that's just my personal opinion. It's what the team wants to do and what Ovi wants to do. I guess it's what it comes down to, right?
Totally.
Honestly, for me, it's what Ovi wants to do first, almost.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Just
it
so
is
it's not Ovi another NHL jersey. Right.
Yeah, totally. I got the
exactly.
I got the quote.
No, it will not be.
It was from 2006, which you were probably here for this, Johnny, I think. So he was getting multiple questions from the media about a potential injury after being hit with a puck. And Ovi was quoted saying, "I'm okay. Russian machine never breaks."
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Okay.
How awesome is that?
I thought it. Yeah. I thought it was after I left to Pittsburgh that came out. But, yeah, no, that's cool. I don't recall it, but I can totally see him say that with a dead straight face and just be like, hey, yeah, Russian machine never breaks.
Last thing, Johnny, they just got a deal done with Nick Dowd, basically making sure he gets to retire a Cap. I really like the way the front office has operated this year. They wrapped up, locked up some of the good young guys, some of these goalies, taking care of a vet. You got to like to see that as a former player.
Oh, you guys are giving me breaking news. I've been in the gym for the last 3 hours. I haven't heard anything, and I'm absolutely pumped.
Yeah.
That is awesome, awesome news. And I'm going to tell you why I think it's so good. Nick Dowd, get a late starter in the NHL, but a guy who is absolutely laser-like focus. He is business-like out there. You know what you're going to get from every night. He's the reason that Dylan Strome was able to score his hat trick last night, the third goal, by his second and third effort off the draw. I mean, it's little things like that that, you know, kind of go unseen that Nick Dowd does, and that makes me so happy. Thank you guys for telling me that.
Well, that's awesome. We got to break some news to Brent Johnson. Breaking news for everybody else. If you wonder why Johnny looks the way he does, apparently he spends 3 hours at the gym. I usually try to lock down like 45 minutes. And that might be the big difference, Johnny.
No. All right. So let me go into that. I did a little I have a personal trainer, but I took a sauna, steam, a little hot tub too today. Trust me, I took my time in there.
Good for you.
You wouldn't work it out the whole time, right?
Good for you, man.
Exactly. Oh no. I'm not crazy.
Johnny, thank you for the time, man. Appreciate it.
All right, gentlemen, you take care. Thank you.
All right, man.
Brent Johnson, give him a follow at JohnnyGoalie12. Does a really good job, man. It's been interesting watching the Caps this year because obviously Locker had to take some time. So then Allen was in the booth,
yeah. And
now Joe B's taking a couple games. They get Walton in there. It's been a lot of moving parts, but just always at a really, really high level.
Phase two was a much-needed, maybe it was more of a much-wanted win by the Washington Capitals. All three of their goals turned in by Dylan Strome. Third career hat trick for Stromer, first as a Capital, and he finished it off into an empty net last night on a very selfless pass by Tom Wilson.
Guided to the near boards, capsule clear to center. Wilson there wants to get it to Strome from center ice for the hat trick. He scores! Dylan Strome into the empty net. He picks up the hat trick on Long Island. He's got all three for the Capitals.
So that's the voice of Zach Fish, who was filling in on the Caps radio network here on The Fan last night. John Walton's been doing the TV calls on Monumental. Joe Beninati, resting the voice for the playoffs, has been under the weather. Zach Fish is really good. I've enjoyed listening to him on The Fan in his fill-in capacity both last season and this season. So that's number one. Number two, Dylan Strome, bro.
Stromer.
29 goals now. If he could get to 30, he'd be the fourth Capital to get to 30 goals this season. He's got one more game to do it. Final regular season game Thursday in Pittsburgh. The boys normally get up for that matchup. They'd have a chance to win back-to-back games and just play a much cleaner brand of hockey twice before the start of the playoffs into the weekend.
Be a nice deal. Yeah, I mean, he's been a godsend. This is one of those, as he's doing this, leads the team in points, as you mentioned, and assists, 29 goals on the doorstep of 30, career high. Case number, 1,274,685 of when the Caps take on somebody and he plays better here. Very rare that happens that often in sports, and it happens in Washington. Whatever they're doing, what's in the water, culturally, coaching staff-wise, organizational development-wise, whatever it is, their ability to identify, fold in, and improve players is remarkable. It's remarkable.
I watch it in other sports all the time with other teams that aren't mine. And you always say, how is it that our guy leaves and goes and is good there? Mm-hmm. Why are all the players that aren't as good in other places, they show up there and they become the best version of themselves? Well, it's a culture that our teams typically don't have, but the Caps are the one for the longest here in town that certainly has it and turns a lot of good players into great players and mediocre players into really good ones. Charlie Lindgren last night, best he's looked in a few weeks. He needed that. because their goaltending just hasn't been good enough. And I think Lindgren has really struggled down the stretch. But 32 saves against 33 shots, allowed just the one goal. I don't know if you saw this post-game last night. We can get more into this later in the show. But Bruce Boudreau, the former coach, who was on the post-game set for Monumental Sports last night after the contest, suggested Logan Thompson probably isn't going to be ready for the start of the playoffs. And I don't think he was saying something that he heard or like passing along information as much as speculating. But as a former coach, he's saying, well, he hasn't played in a game in weeks. He hasn't even practiced in full and taken shots in a practice yet, and we're X number of days away. So the math, as a former coach, is telling him, even if you're bullish about the return, Charlie Lindgren might have to start the series as the Caps' number one. And that would actually be nerve-wracking for me, because I just don't think Lindgren's played at the level that you're going to need to win playoff series. So I want nothing to do with that. I love Chucky. I'm glad they re-signed him. I think he's a really good number two. Last year, he stood on his head and got him to the playoffs. He just hasn't played at that level. And they haven't been great in front of him either. But Logan Thompson is going to be the guy that, as far as they go, is how far he'll drag him. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, I do.
He's their best goalie. So when I heard that last night, I've been expecting all along, for people that don't know, Thompson took a puck off the melon, right off the mask, and left with what was pretty clearly a concussion or symptoms. They called it upper body. And this is going back a week and a half or so, 2 weeks ago. I just kind of assumed all along he'd be ready by the playoffs, and this was all precautionary. But if that's not the case, and Lindgren is the starter, you know, forget all these conversations about, are you worried about how they're playing? Are you worried? Are you worried about having your backup goalie, who has not had a great second half in the game against Montreal or Columbus? My answer to that is yes.
Yeah. Bailey Johnson, moments ago, said Logan Thompson skated again today at the Capitals' optional practice. Now,
did he practice, though?
There it is. I don't know.
I'm glad he's back on his skates. Uh-huh. He was back on his skates, she said again, because I think yesterday we saw
that. He's on the trip, yeah.
I need him doing goalie stuff. What do they call it? Baseball activities or something? Yeah. Hockey activities.
Hockey-related activities. So
I don't know about you, but like with Logan Thompson in net, I feel really good about winning in round one. With Charlie Lindgren in net, I think I'm not going to say I wouldn't bet on them winning. I still think they're the better team, but I am way less confident.
Yeah, I don't feel great right now as it is. Because my point all along, what I seem to argue, people, whatever we're doing on any walk of life, any sport, is why are we assuming? It might happen. It might work out. Whatever it is, Logan Thompson comes back. He's fine. They play well. But there's throughout kind of the process, there's been this assumption that he'll just be back. Based on what? How do we know that? Like Alexi Protas will be fine. Are we sure? Are we sure that he could put his foot in a skate just yet, and that he'll be the same Alexi Protas that was awesome for 67 games? I don't know. So that's I'm concerned. Again, I'm not panicked or worried. I've gotten enough treats and joy out of the season with the Ovechkin chase and everything like that. But I do worry that the assumption that, yeah, they'll just flip the switch, and yeah, Thompson will be fine, and yeah, Protas will be fine, and not only are they coming back without much game time experience, at least in the regular season, but they'll just be themselves right away coming back from an injury where they've been gone and out of rhythm for a little while. So I'm hopeful, but I'm not necessarily just counting on it, I guess.
I totally understand. There's just a recent precedent. Edmonton last year gets to the cup after getting blown out 7-0 in one of their final games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as you're resting, guys, it's for some reason it's different in hockey. I don't know why we view it this way. But like, if in the NFL, the Chiefs are a great example. They sat everybody and lost to the Broncos 40-0 in Week 18 last season, right?
Right.
That was the 1/18th of their season, so that's like 5%, which in hockey, if you do that quick math, is the equivalent of the last four games of the season, let's say. They lost 40-0. They just took the game off and rested up. Nobody batted an eye. It's just what they do in football. In hockey, John Carlson sat for two of these games. Jacob Chychrun's missed three or four of these games. Alex Ovechkin didn't play in one of the games. They've been rotating through who's playing and who isn't. They're playing guys like Alexiev and Dylan McIlrath, and you know, they're getting Ethan Frank back into the lineup, who haven't played in weeks and weeks, and the results aren't as good, weirdly, and everyone's like, they're not playing as good as they need to. Well, that's true, and maybe the momentum will hurt them. We have this same debate in football.
Yep.
Or in baseball, the last couple games of a season, when you get people off their feet or whatever, did you hinder them? And if they flounder and they lose in the first round, we can look back and say maybe Carberry, who's going to be the coach of the year, the Jack Adams Award winner, you know, maybe he screwed up. Maybe they shouldn't have been taking days off and resting. But there has not been a game in the last couple of weeks where they were like, I don't know if there's a better saying than this, balls to the wall, you know, where they're just going hard in the paint, desperate, playing everybody, and looked like crap. Like, that hasn't really happened. So I'm just assuming when that's the case in the playoffs, it won't happen. But I could be wrong. And if they lose to Montreal or Columbus in six games, then I'll come in and say, whoopsie-daisy.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you worry warts who every single year tell me they're going to get blown out in the first round. You were right this time. My bad.
Yeah. I also understand, though, that you know, five of the last 6 years, as they've made the playoffs, haven't gotten out of the first round, and the 1 year they didn't make it, this the way they've played lately, and to me, I'm extending it back further than resting guys. I'm looking at, you know, getting blown out by Buffalo or, you know, the last 20-plus games of the season where their goals against are worse, offensively they're worse, their shooting percentages, like, which were unsustainably great, went down.
All that stuff was going to come down, naturally.
Sure.
Because they just weren't going to play. They were running. They were the number one team in goals for and against and running away with the,
and it was unsustainable.
President's trophy. And essentially, it's like this, they're good. They ain't that good. But yeah, they haven't. If someone were to say to me, they haven't gotten out of the first round since the Stanley Cup in 18, I'd say, yeah, and this team's better than all those teams. They also weren't the best team in the East and the best team in the Metro. They haven't won a division title in like 4 years. Mm-hmm. They've gotten in as a wild card most of the time,
right,
and played in those series. The only team that they wouldn't have home ice advantage against in the playoffs is Winnipeg.
It's Winnipeg.
And by the way, a month ago, everyone's going, man, I really hope they don't win the President's Trophy. And so they cool off and don't win it. Now everyone's like, man, would have been nice if they finished stronger. People are just worried no matter what. It's the hockey playoffs, Montreal, Columbus. It's all scary. And guess what? It's a crapshoot. You have a 53% chance of winning any series, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm making a little bit of light of it, but you know how this is.
Of course I do, yeah.
They could get a couple bounces and then go on a cup run, or they could get, you know, knocked out in five games, and the margins are the length, the width of the blade on a skate. It's a dumb thing. And yet my emotions for the next 4 months are tied to it.
Ho-hum.
How the rest of my
year
goes. Yeah,
how fair is that, yeah.
But what are you going to do?
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It's high noon in the District of Columbia. And sometimes in life, you got to have uncomfortable conversations.
Let's have them.
Hello, Steve. How do you do?
I'm doing all right, JP. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man. We're joined on the Rude Guest Hotline by our friend, Mr. Steve Wino. You can give him a follow at S-Wino, W-H-Y-N-O. Wino covers the Caps, does an amazing job for the Associated Press. And it ain't running right lately. Wino?
Should we be concerned?
Yeah, B-Mitch, there should be some concern, and not panic necessarily, but this is a team that certainly, look, they're playing Ovechkin, they're playing get the puck to Ovechkin and get him the record for a month, and you have all that. But Alexei Protas is arguably their most important skater, Logan Thompson, their best goaltender. Both those guys have been out injured. Logan Thompson's back on the ice skating. We don't know when he'll be ready. Will he be ready for a game one Sunday or a week from today? We don't know. Alexei Protas had that skate cut. He's supposed to get back on the ice this week, but without those guys and sort of trying to flip a switch back from the Ovechkin chase and all that, it hasn't looked right. It's been disjointed, turnovers, mistakes, and it's not the hockey the Capitals want to be playing going into the playoffs.
All right, so that's all obvious. What if, and I know how hockey is with injuries, but if you could get LT or Protas back, do you think, I know Carberry's kind of hinted that they should be back for the playoffs. Is that where you see it happening? So we're talking like next weekend?
Yeah, I think, JP, I think there's a chance of that. I think there's a chance of whether, if it's not game one, it might be game two or game three of the series, because with these specific injuries, which we think is a concussion and a skate cut, there's no real, like, okay, they'll be back in 7 to 10 days or 2 to 4 weeks or whatever. So there's just an uncertainty of, A, being healthy enough to play, and also just conditioning, being on the ice enough practices and times. And I would predict the Capitals are going to practice, at least they have a full practice on Saturday to try to get these guys up to speed. And I think it's easier from one case to plug Alexei Protas in right away than it is to put a goaltender in there who's been ice cold and not play. But I think you almost look at this first round series, whether they play the Columbus Blue Jackets or the Montreal Canadiens, for the Capitals, as game one might be ugly no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. So you sort of not throw it out, but you could get ready for that and figure you're in for a long series if you get those guys back healthy and shake the rust off.
Do you think they've been one of the better teams throughout the year, but they've gone after that record. Can they click that switch and bounce back?
That's the entire thing. And Brian, you know this as an athlete, that the psychology of trying to flip a switch is not easy. And it happens. This happens to a lot of teams. And this is why we talk about the President's Trophy sort of curse that people talk about in hockey. I don't think there's a curse on the trophy, which the Capitals now can't win. And I think that's a good thing for folks around here. But when you don't have adversity throughout a season and then you get punched in the face in the playoff series, it's, do you have anything to pull from to respond to that? And that's the big question is, this team hasn't played meaningful hockey in so long. They've had such a cushion atop the Eastern Conference, and things have been going so well. You're talking about sort of the shooting percentages and the health up until now. For everything went so well for the first 65 games of an 82-game season that it was almost like the regression to what this team probably should be is like falling off a cliff in terms of the bounces, the luck, but even just things going right. Everyone having a career year sort of at the same time, from Alexi Protas, Pierre Dubois, great season, Dylan Strome, Tom Wilson, obviously Alex Ovechkin at 39 years old scoring 43 goals, that it was bound to sort of drop off. It's just a matter of can they sort of get back to what made them successful a few months ago in time before it's too late.
I don't want to go back to when they were the one seed and played Montreal for the eight, when they were the eight seed and lost in that first round, right? I don't want to go back to that. I think they're going to get their S together for the first round. I don't worry about that. But like when you look at the Vegas odds, it seems like a lot of knowledgeable hockey people don't now view the Caps as a cup threat. 2 months ago, everybody's like, oh my God, this team is loaded. And Now they're just kind of like, you know, just scuffling a bit. How do you feel about them with two? It's only, they got two road games before the playoffs start. And they got, I mean, what was the total? Was it 11-1 in two games against Columbus over the weekend?
Yeah, not great. Yeah. And look, the Capitals didn't really care about that game on Saturday, but still, you don't want to get pumped 7-0 in a game like that late in the season. But here's the thing, and we talked about this even a couple months ago when things were rolling well. The odds, the betting odds, never caught up to the Capitals being the contender or one of the top two or three contenders, because I think there were a lot of people in hockey, knowledgeable people, who saw that things were going so smoothly that it was almost unsustainable. And that the reason why the Stars and the Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes and even the Toronto Maple Leafs are up there, Colorado Avalanche, as top contenders is you just looked at the body of work and say they can raise their level to a playoff when the playoffs start, and the Capitals' highest level they may have reached already. And I think, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they turn back into the team from before the Four Nations break, from a little bit out of that when they were sort of rolling along, but they've gotten sort of a lot of that puck luck throughout the season, that I'm not sure these next two games, to your point, matter whether they win or lose against the Islanders or the Penguins, but they need to get their process right. They need to get the way they play back on track. And you're not doing it with Alexi Protas, but you're doing it while maybe resting Alex Ovechkin again tomorrow and sort of trying to like get everybody's bodies healthy and ready while also like, everyone's minds aren't right now. Like there's just something off with this team that it's really hard to see how they just come out game one and blitz someone. But maybe with the talent on this roster, they're able to do that.
I hope they do.
So serious question here. Last year, we're talking with our friend Steve Wino, joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Give Steve a follow at SWino, Instagram and Twitter. Last year, it was Lindgren that really got them into the playoffs. He was so good down the stretch. They got swept. They were outclassed by the Rangers last year. But he got them in because he was so good. Then this year, they go get Logan Thompson in the offseason. He gets the extension. Charlie does too, but it's not as much money. When things were really going great for Washington, it was LT was a stud, and then when Lindgren did play, he was really good too. Mm-hmm. Lindgren hasn't been all that good of late.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm actually going to absolve him a little bit more. Like, not that he hasn't made that spectacular save that he was making this time last year to get them in, but it's been a mess in front of these guys. Like, even look at Logan Thompson's numbers in the final month before he got hurt, and just you can tell a lot of the chances the Capitals are giving up that the good thing really about the way they played for the first 3 or 4 months of the season was they weren't relying on their goaltenders. Like, Logan Thompson's numbers are really good, but it wasn't like you watched him and was like, this guy's one of the best goalies in the league. His numbers made it look like it because the team in front of him was playing so well. And he was making, and he and Charlie Lindgren were making the saves that were needed in those situations. They weren't being asked to sort of be the reason the Capitals were winning games. And now, when you've got Rasmus Sandin just passes the puck to a Blue Jackets player last night, unassisted goal. What is Charlie Lindgren supposed to do about that? Odd man rushes the other day against the Islanders, or the day Alex Ovechkin broke the record. I don't know what a goaltender is supposed to do when he's facing a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2 every couple of minutes. Not to say that the goaltending can't be better. I think everything about the Capitals game right now can be better, and it's something that's going to be their focus in the next two games and the practices of next weekend. But I don't think they're the problem. I think there's a lot of missing in the structure and the defensive sort of coverage that made this team so good and so tough, because they were able to defend so well that then they could use that to spark offense and go the other way and score. And they're not doing either of those things right now.
It really is crazy because they were, I mean, I think they still have scored the most goals in the NHL. I know they did for a while before they kind of hit this lull. Do you think the Ovi record chase did, I don't want to say damage because it's incredible and he deserves that record, but like the timing of it coming late into the year as they get to the playoffs, just it's going to be harder than they thought to kind of get back to the normal offense they were running?
Yeah, and short answer, yes. Long answer, but it's good that Alex Ovechkin got it done when he did. Because if we were still talking about that now, and then they've got to celebrate and sort of go into the flip the switch mode in the playoffs, I think it'd be even harder. Alex Ovechkin gave this team a major break by doing it in game, whatever, 77 of the season and not game 81 or 82, because they do have this time to reset. And honestly, Spencer Carberry light into them and maybe bag skate them Saturday, whatever it is, to sort of get their minds right, and maybe time kind of heals that sort of weird adjustment back. And I said this to Trevor Van Riemsdyk the other day, like, usually when you win a big championship and celebrate, you have a whole summer to reset. And this team really did celebrate like a championship, and deservedly so. They absolutely should have and did. But at least they have the time now to figure it out. And we may look back if they lose in the first round, if they lose in the second round, that the chase sort of became the season. But I also wonder, 10, 15 years from now, I know it's hard to think about this like now, but we're all going to remember the chase more than we're going to remember that sort of even a playoff exit. And then obviously this team would love to go make another run, go to a final, win the Stanley Cup and all those things. But if nothing else, this is a season that everyone's going to remember for Alex Ovechkin breaking the record and the chase leading up to that.
100%.
I agree. Almost unless they win a cup.
They win a cup.
That only adds to it, right?
They will still remember the chase if they win a cup.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so looking ahead, the two games this week, you'd like to see them just look back to what they can be, but they don't really matter. It's not definite that they're playing the Canadiens, but it sure looks that way. What is the deal with Montreal and Columbus trying to get in, and who do you like to get that eighth spot?
Well, let's make this easy. If the Canadiens win either one of their final two games, they play the last place lowly Blackhawks tonight. If they win, they're in. It's the Canadiens. That's it. Blue Jackets need to win out and for the Canadiens to lose out to get in. So I think by the odds right now, it's 95% chance it's going to be the Montreal Canadiens and 5% the Blue Jackets.
But okay,
both of these teams, young, hungry sort of teams that exceeded expectations to get in. Montreal's best player is Lane Hudson's going to be the rookie of the year. He's actually older brother of the Caps now top prospect, not on the team, Cole Hudson. And look, the Capitals will be favored in that series against either one of these teams. They should beat either one of these teams. I understand maybe the fan base getting nervous about the 2010 stuff, whatever. That doesn't matter. That team is entirely different than this one. The Bell Center is a tough place to play. Would be kind of the bigger concern there. But the Capitals should be able to take care of both of those teams, in theory, setting up a second-round matchup against the Carolina Hurricanes or the New Jersey Devils.
Am I wrong to be freaked out about a second-round matchup with the Hurricanes?
No, you shouldn't be freaked out. But I think that if I'm picking a Stanley Cup champion or Stanley a finalist from the East right now, I think it's Carolina. I think there's just something about that team and the way Rob Brindamore has them playing. But the Capitals have had good and bad games against them. The game in Carolina was during sort of the OB chase. Come back here, the Hurricanes blow a 2-goal lead, the Capitals blow a 2-goal lead, and it goes to a shootout. It's pretty even. I consider it a pretty even series that the Capitals, if they get Logan Thompson back, if they get Alexi Protas back, and you get the sort of right bounces and luck and whatever going, and they get their game back together. If they need a series to get their game back together and survive the first round, I think it's a long one. I think it's a 6-7 game, coin flip. Somebody gets a goal overtime or late in regulation. I think there's a right to be concerned about it, but really, to as cliche as it is, one series at a time. I wouldn't even worry about Carolina until the Capitals can get past the Canadiens or the Blue Jackets.
Yep. I gotta pump our brakes a little bit, Jay.
Yeah, I suppose you're right, Wano. Is the conversation in there surrounding Ovi kind of done now? Like, is not everybody asking Ovi about everything all the time?
Yeah, I think he's tired of that, and I think the team is ready to move on, and you could sort of sense that the first practice after, you had 895 school children there, and Ovechkin does the belly flop, and like it was sort of like that, and the pregame celebration the other night was like, let's put a capper on this. It's like when the team wins a championship and you have the ring ceremony or go to the White House or whatever, like they need to put that behind them now. And Alex Ovechkin is still scoring goals. I think he has scored roughly 30% of their goals since February 1st or whatever it is. And it's good that he's scoring. The Capitals just need to, at this point, figure out how to get back to playing hockey and not worrying about who's scoring the goals, just that they are. Because I just looked up the stat. They're no longer the highest scoring team in the NHL because of this stretch. And they've allowed 3 or more goals in 11 games in a row. That's a troubling thing that you don't want to have happen. And I think it's something that if you're Spencer Carberry and the coaching staff, is going to be an emphasis at the Islanders, at the Penguins, no matter who's playing or who's resting in those games, that they need to lock down defensively. And even if it means losing a 2-1 game, because these games don't matter, to get that sort of defensive game right in time for playing Montreal or Columbus next weekend.
Yeah, man, you got to – defense wins championships. All right, last thing for me, why not be? I don't know if you have something. Talking with our friend Steve Wino, covers the Caps for the AP. Give him a follow, at S Wino. I had to be down there yesterday at the arena to do the Wizards Altcast, which was a 1 o'clock tip. When I pulled in to the parking lot, there was I'll never forget this car. It was like a lime green, very, very bright green Dodge Charger with a huge, and I mean huge, Columbus Blue Jackets flag sticking out, like mounted to the car. Have you ever seen this person before? Is this the world's largest Blue Jackets fan? This was here. So the Caps played the Blue Jackets at 6 o'clock at Cap One. This was at like noon.
I have no idea. I've never seen that car before. But I guess if they play the Blue Jackets in the playoffs, we're gonna have to do some investigating on that.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you, if they play the Blue Jackets in the playoffs, we will absolutely see this car again. If anybody else saw it, please let me know, because otherwise I sound pretty crazy right now.
We'll get to the bottom of some things if they play the Blue Jackets in the playoffs.
Dude, what do you think? Now, this is a guess, but Lord knows we're going to do some mock scheduling for the NFL. What is the Steve Wino mock Caps playoff schedule look like?
We have been hearing rumors of a Monday, a week from tonight, game one start of that series. We know that the Capitals are not going to be made to play Saturday because they play Thursday. You're not going to make the best team in the East turn around on that. And so there's a possibility that they start Sunday the 20th. But leaning toward a Monday, April 21st start, which will make game two, Wednesday the 23rd at home as well. And game three on night two of the draft, game on Friday, the 25th at Montreal, and then at Sunday, the 27th at Montreal for game four. That is my best guess at this moment in time.
And I don't know if you told me this or somebody told me this in Long Island, that generally the Canadian teams don't get prime time, like generally that Saturday, Sunday, 3 o'clock ABC Turner national game usually doesn't go to Canadian teams in the first round?
That's true, because it just like sort of with how the NFL works is there's a sort of a collaboration between the league, ESPN, Turner, Sportsnet, and the French broadcaster TVA of sort of splitting the games up among those networks and who gets what and what's the best time on that. I'm a little surprised it wouldn't be a hockey night in Canada sort of Saturday night, but if it's Leafs and Senators and the Oilers and the Kings in the West and Winnipeg against whoever, there's plenty of other options for that, which would allow the Capitals and Canadians to do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and then I guess a Tuesday back here bit in the first round.
So Leafs Senators seems almost locked in, right?
It's close. Like where it can lock in as close as soon as tomorrow, as long as the Leafs get a point and Panthers win tonight against the Rangers. I think you can lock that in. You can lock in Lightning, Panthers. We've known about Carolina and Jersey for a while, and Capitals are just waiting to see Canadians or Blue Jackets.
That's wild. So it's going to be Battle of Ontario, Toronto versus Ottawa.
And then the Sunshine State Showdown between Tampa and Florida again.
That's crazy. And then Raleigh versus Newark. It doesn't have quite the same.
That sounds like our friend Ben Raby used to call that the Golf Channel series. When they have to move some games to the Golf Channel, that's the Golf Channel series.
That's funny. All right, Wino, thank you, buddy. We'll be watching, we'll be reading, we'll be paying attention, and probably see you for the playoffs.
Thanks, guys. Stop worrying so much and talk to you soon.
All right, thank you. I'm gonna try to stop worrying so much.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Later in the program, 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Mike Rizzo, president of baseball operations for the Washington Nationals, who got a win yesterday. But joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline is Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAortho.com. Good morning, coach.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
We're getting closer here. Are you kind of ready for the regular season to be over with? It just get this going, or what's sort of your mindset?
Yeah, a lot of anticipation, ready to get rolling. You can feel it now with basically all but one our opponent secured now with last night's results. Mm-hmm. So you can feel it. I feel it, and I can feel it from our players too.
Coach, did it feel good to get back to just a normal late season road game, not having the weight of potential history being made like your last appearance at the Islanders when Ovi broke the record?
Yeah, it was a good game. We played well, even without a few key guys in our lineup. I thought our whole lineup, I thought all four lines, all three sets of our D, Charlie Lindgren, was a really solid road effort. And you know what was interesting was going back in that building. So I've been there, maybe eight times before, but mm-hmm. now walking in that building, it feels different now because of the moment that you witnessed there and what you went through and Ovi scoring that goal and the history being made there. So now it has a different feel to it. It takes you back a little bit. And I'm sure for everybody, myself, the coaches, the players, Ovi going back into that building will feel different moving forward because of what took place there.
So Stromer gets his first Hattie as a Capital, part of the first 80-point campaign of his career. Did it get dusty in the locker room post-game when you guys saw that Stromer basically, he called his shot pregame that he texted his wife on the 3-year anniversary of their dog Wrigley passing away. He said, quote, getting one for the Rig Man tonight.
Wow.
He texted that to his wife. He got not only one, he got three for his dog that passed away. I nearly cried when I read that headline, Coach. It was pretty touching.
And you know what's coincidental on that is we don't normally, like as coaches, we never really talk about individual points. Like obviously Ovi's situation was different, but we don't keep tabs on who's at 19 goals, mm-hmm. One away from 20. But last night it just so happened we just went through our roster as a staff and just, you know, who's close to, and Stromer was the guy we brought up of like, oh, wow, he's 2 points away from 80. And we're like, four away from 30. That's going to be tough in two games. But we brought that up. And then next thing you know, he's got the first goal in the first. And then he gets the second to get him to 80 points. And then all of a sudden he's one away from 30. So good for him. He certainly carried the load last night offensively.
So, Coach Carbs, I was going through the stats. And it's remarkable that how many guys have their career highs and goals this season for the Caps. I'm just going to quickly go through the list because there's a lot of them. Willie has 33. Pro has 30. Stromer, 29. Mikey, 25. Chicky has 20. Dowder has 14. Now, this isn't a career high in goals, but Luke Dubois has a career high in points. Like, what is your guys' secret sauce for getting all these guys to these goal numbers this year for the Caps?
It's crazy. I think it's just they're number one. It's a credit to them. They're all having terrific regular seasons, which is, you know, the lot of work that they're putting in and everything that they've done this year to be consistent with their game and show up every night and perform at a high level. And then I think the other part of it, which is the team component, is when your team plays well, guys usually do well on the team. That's just how it works. If your team game looks good, if you're winning hockey games, if you're winning baseball games, there's players that are hitting home runs and hitting at a high average and stealing bases, and stats are going to get racked up. So that's what I think we've done a really good job of, is understanding the buy-in to our team game, which as a result will reflect in individual statistics, and guys will be rewarded for that. And that's been nice to see.
Coach, I wanted to ask you a little different question here. So Rory McIlroy wins the Masters, right? And a lot was made of his sports psychologist giving him a game plan. And it got me thinking, with the Capitals and you as a coach, do you employ any sort of like visualization they always say is big for athletes, or do you leave that to the individual players? Like, where does sports psychology fit into a playoff run?
We leave it. We do have resources for the players. We don't do a ton of forceful, meaning you have to attend this or you have to do this. We leave it as optional. And then a lot of guys have their own performance coaches, individual guys that they work with, or girls that sort of help them through. And it is, I agree with the assessment that it's important, because I even use it and I'm very, very mindful of, because essentially what you're looking for, this is the way that I look at it, is you're looking for tools to how can you mentally handle adversity better. Because inevitably, you're going to make a double bogey like Rory did, or you're going to get scored on and go down in a playoff game that's a really important game. And how do you stay in that moment? How do you not let it affect your demeanor, snowball to another bogey on the next hole? How do you, as a coach, not get wrapped up in that one mistake that a player made and move past it, and now we're going to find a way to tie this game and all your energy is focused on making a birdie on hole two or whatever? And that was what I watched, like Rory, that was amazing, because the second he makes double on one, you're like, oh my gosh, the wheels are about to come off. And he comes right back and punches back with back to, I think it was 3 and 4 he birdied, or something like that, to like get it back to a 3-shot lead, which was amazing to me. Like, that mental toughness to be able to put that behind you and focus on your next shot. It's the same thing at any sport, and we use that stuff. It's a really, really important tools to gain.
Do you do any visualization? Do you like head into it and do you visualize, close your eyes, think about raising the cup, that sort of thing?
I don't do as much visualization. I talk myself through scenarios and try to, because I'm a, like, as an, my natural who I am as a coach is super intense, super, invested, competitive. So I'm always, I know that about myself. And so I'm always having to, like, I'll talk myself through, like, deep breath. Okay. Deep breath. we got scored on. Okay, who's up next? Who's going to do this? How are we going to get the next goal? Problem solve, scoring next. We've got this. So I do a lot of self-talk and just reflect back on how I can get better in some of those areas when you do inevitably hit adversity.
Coach, I don't know if you can answer this. I don't know. I'm just going to ask anyway. But when you go into this, like when you look back on the season so far, what are you most excited about, proud of heading into the playoffs, and what are you like maybe most concerned about?
Well, I'm excited. I think we have a great team, and I think we have a legitimate opportunity to do something special and win. I don't really look past the first round, I'll be honest with you. I'm like, mm-hmm. I just believe we can win a first-round series. We have the team and the capability absolutely, unequivocally to win the first round. We can do that. And so that excites you as a coach because that's, you know, it's right there for you. If you execute and do the things that you need to do as a team, you can get out of the first round. And I don't know if anything really concerns me. I mean, there's always
the
little things. No, that listen, there's always things inside your game that you're always trying to tweak, get better in, players that you're trying to help be more impactful. So you could go through and say, you know, you want to get more out of this player or this line or this D pair or, mm-hmm. But that's not concerning. That's just part of sports and that's part of trying to get the best out of the team. So you're always going to go through, we even will in the first round series, we'll probably struggle at one point in let's just say, for instance, we're struggling to break a puck out in game one. Mm-hmm. So there, is that concerning? Well, yeah, because we didn't do a very good job in game one, and then you get to problem solving it, and you. So I know it's kind of a lazy way of answering. It's just there's nothing that I'm like, oh geez, I'm really fearful of this going in.
Coach, we kind of opened up the show talking about this, and I know you're not going to give us the answer on it, but I just want to get your thought process. All right, so Thompson got hurt, I think April 2nd, something like that.
That's the date, yeah.
And then Lindgren came in. Now, Lindgren's numbers weren't great. We went through it. He was good last night, but his GAA, and I'm not saying it's all his fault. I know defense has something to do with it, but
yeah.
His GAA was 3.11 in the month of April, filling in for LT. Now, so give us the status on LT, and then in game one of the first round, would you want to throw LT in there since he hasn't played so long? Or would you stick with Lindgren just because he's been playing for the last few weeks? Or would you just go with your best guy who was LT all year? I don't know how you decipher.
It's a lot to handle.
I'm giving you a lot, and I don't know how much you can tell me, but give me your thought process.
Okay, so first on the LT, he's skating. So he's on the trip with us, skated yesterday. So all positive steps for his path to being cleared to get back into the lineup. So that's the first part of your question. Second part with Chucky, this is why we have had the luxury of having two number one goalies. And that's why we signed these guys to long-term contracts, because you need two goalies in the National Hockey League inevitably, whether it's the regular season or whether it's the playoffs, and you have to have two capable guys, and we feel like we have that. And so Chucky, great start last night, which is I think exactly what the doctor ordered to give him confidence of having his game in a really good spot heading into game one. And we know, and we've seen, and fans and coaches and his teammates have seen what Charlie Lindgren is capable of. We watched it for however many games he's played over the last couple of years, and I have, and know what he's capable of doing. So we have the utmost confidence in him game one. We won't commit or say it's going to go this way or this way. It's a day-by-day process with us. Chucky can absolutely do a job and start game one, and LT could as well.
Gotcha.
Coach Carbs, were you aware that Ovi was going to be a roving reporter for the Pat McAfee show on the flight to the Isles game? Or was that just a complete surprise to you?
That was a big surprise. I saw that
because I'm a huge sports fan, so I'm always looking at what's going on in other sports and following that stuff. And so I see him walking around the plane on the McAfee show. That's good stuff. They're introducing the whole squad. I think I'm not sure if he knew we called up Clay Stevenson, so that was an interesting part of his documentary.
Did you see him walking around?
Yeah. No, I didn't see him, like, because we were up at the front.
Oh, okay.
So I had my back. So I didn't see any of it. I just saw, obviously, the video.
Hey, so there's one spot left in the Eastern Conference, the eighth seed. It's either going to be Montreal and Columbus. Is your scouting department, are you scouting both teams, or are you going to wait to see who you play first? How's that work?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, we are. We are scouting both teams. Now, we've had the luxury of playing Columbus for two straight games,
right.
Which is nice because you have a really good feel as a team, coaches, our players of what their team, and we didn't play them in mean-nothing games. We played them when they were absolute at their best, season on the line. Everything they were doing from a systematic and a game plan standpoint was being done to the utmost detail and the utmost urgency level. So it gives us a really good idea of what the Columbus Blue Jackets are all about. And then we also have been watching Montreal pre-scouting their games and making sure that we're ready if that ends up being the opponent.
Now, do you know, maybe the schedule hasn't been released, do you know when game one would be? Would it be Sunday?
We don't know yet, unfortunately. So that I'm not sure exactly when it'll be released. I'm assuming in the next potentially 24 to 48 hours would have to be released pretty quick here.
Well, one thing you know is you don't have to share the building for a Wizards playoff run.
Hey, why you got to take the cheap shot?
I'm just saying, it's available.
What's going on there?
Coach Collins. Yeah, that's
low blow. Put him in the sin bin, coach, for that one. Unnecessary roughness.
Right? Hey, I wanted to ask you a question. You said you're a sports fan. This is kind of a goofy question, but it's been reported that Bill Belichick, who of course is coaching at North Carolina now, has his girlfriend around at these practices, and that the girlfriend, apparently Bill Belichick sent an email to some of the people at North Carolina to copy her on all of the emails. When is the last time Coach Carberry's wife,
Mrs. Carbs,
was at a practice? Like, is she on all of your emails? Is she part of the email chain?
You're really trying to put me in one here, hey?
Can you believe that, by the way?
Dude, I've seen this before. This is what happens when old guys date like girls like 60 years younger. They're clinging to them, man. They're doing everything they can to hang on.
Yeah, that one. I have not seen that report. That's a no comment from my end. I don't know how
smart on your part, Coach Carr.
So back to the Masters. It sounds like you watched a lot of it. How much did you watch?
Yeah, we do. We have a really fun Masters pool it's an annual thing that we do as a team. And the coaches, normally the players will do, different stuff through the year, and it's just the players. But this is the one event that the coaches are involved in. So it's a fun thing. We do a live draft. We get the music going. Zach Ledden, our strength and conditioning coach, does an excellent job. He runs the whole thing. There's a timer. It's really good.
Isn't that great?
You can hear it.
I've said I want this music at my funeral. I want it in my wake. I want this everywhere.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Who won?
So we get that cranking, and so we do a pool. So we follow it. You follow your golfers, and I've always been a huge golf fan, so I've watched it throughout the years. And,
so great.
The team ended up winning. Gosh, I stopped following because I got...
Who'd you have?
We had... our one horse was Aberg.
Right.
He played well.
Right. Yeah, no, he was right there.
Had a chance.
He was good, but we had a couple... Like, you pick six guys, your top three count, so you need three that are, in the top 20 in that. We, after that, it dropped off. We had that Jaeger from, I think he's a German guy that came out hot Jaeger, in the first round. We were fist pumping in the, and they mix it up too. So I was with, my team was Scott Murray, our goalie coach, and then Chicky and Matt Roy. So it's fun, you know, you get to interact with the guys and you draft golfers together, and we set up a little group chat that went pretty quiet as we fell down the leaderboard.
Well, hey, last one for you. Since we're talking golf, what's the best course you've played on personally?
Oh, okay. So I would have to say my most enjoyable round. So I'm doing this thing with my dad. My dad is a huge golfer, played a little bit of pro, was a teaching pro back home. So I grew up around the game. And I'm doing that. My brother and I started last year. We're taking him, we're doing bucket list courses that he's never played in his life. And trying to take him. So last year we started it. And we took him to Pinehurst number 2.
Nice. That's a good one.
Nice.
Good start.
And so I'll say that one. Played some other good tracks, but I'll say that one because the unique part of that was not only playing the course, we played it a week after Bryson won the U.S. Open and hit that bunker shot.
Yeah.
So we played it when it was tough, and as a cherry on top, they said the day just coincidentally that we played was the Sunday pins.
Wow.
Oh, sweet.
Did you stay at the Carolina Inn right there? At
Villas.
The Villas.
Yeah, we did.
That place is sick.
Hey, Coach, it was great.
Coach, it's been a great season. I think this is your last one before the playoffs. So we'd love to have you during the playoffs, but
we'll see. If they get on a heater, maybe he'll do an occasional spot for us, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I always love coming on. I appreciate you guys treating me so well.
Yeah, no,
it's been great,
it.
Man.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you. Yeah, let's do it. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Coach Spencer Carberry, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAortho.com.
But Jacob Chychrun is on hold right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, and he joins us as the Caps get ready to play their final game of the regular season tomorrow in Pittsburgh. Jacob, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Great,
doing
buddy.
Very well. First of all, how are you feeling? I know you've gotten some maintenance days with Carly on the back end on the blue line. How are things holding up for you? Is that just strictly rest? And what are your thoughts on kind of the team's health going into the postseason here?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Body was fighting a little something there the last week or so. So I just, we just weren't, pushing it. I think just giving it a chance to get over the hump. I think overall, I think we're in a really good spot. I think, obviously, unfortunately, Pro is still, not skating yet, but we're hopeful, each day he's getting better and getting closer. So, I think, overall, the health, our group is looking really good, really hopeful. I think LT is making big strides on the ice. And hopefully, come game one, we'll be close to 100% here.
What's the most important thing for you guys to do to kind of ratchet back up and play as well as you guys played for so much of this season, Jacob, when you go to the postseason?
Oh, I think, obviously, the postseason is – these games are going to be so easy to get up for. I think, this time of year, it can be difficult some nights. You're playing teams that are well out of the race and know that the summer is right around the corner and it's just different hockey. But I think, come playoff time, the atmosphere, the fans, the, energy and excitement, and it's going to be, just easier for us to get back to our style. I think that's kind of the style that we've fed off of for most of the year and why we're successful. So, I think we're all so excited really for this to get going.
Jacob Chychrun, we've talked to you about this a bunch over the last several weeks, but the huge question everybody has is, you guys have not played at the dominant level down the stretch that you did all year. Is that going to affect you? Can you just flip a switch? When you hear that discussion, what's your response?
I just think it's the NHL. I mean, if people are expecting us to be dominant for 82 games, then they clearly haven't played many games in this league because, that's darn near impossible to do. So every team goes through, periods of time where they're not playing well. And I think naturally the end of the season can be tough. Like I mentioned earlier, when you're playing teams that are you know, playing guys out of college and playing, you know, lineups that just aren't what you're seeing, you know, normally. It just makes it difficult at times. And it's no excuse, obviously, but like I said, when you're playing 82 games in the season, and in our sport, it's, you know, it's just impossible to play as well as we have for all, you know, all this season. So yeah, it's something that I was almost surprised with, to be honest. Like, when we're, you know, 60 games into the year and things are going as well as they are, like, you're almost more surprised that we haven't had any of those games where, you know, you lay an egg and just don't play to your best of, you know, your ability, because you naturally have those throughout the course of a season. And for us, it just seems like they've all come in the last couple weeks here. But yeah, we're excited for what's to come here with the postseason.
We cannot wait for the postseason to start and to be catching up with you throughout the playoffs. Jacob Chikrin, who had an outstanding season as a star defenseman for the Capitals here on Grant and Danny. Hey, we just had this huge DC sports news breaking. It sounds like maybe the Commanders are striking a deal to be playing in DC downtown in the city again at RFK Stadium. We're going to have the details here in a moment, but I want to get your thoughts as someone who plays your home games downtown, you know, at an arena, and everybody gets on the Metro and comes to see you. Just, you know, the difference of maybe sports in the city and the vibes downtown on a game day, and the boys being able to get down there and hang out around the city. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it's always better, you know, when you've got a stadium that's right in the mix of the city. I mean, you know, I played in Arizona for a long time where the rink was, you know, a good 30 plus minutes from where everybody was living and where all the action is. And it just makes it difficult, you know, for the fans to get out there. And I think, you know, just not as much of the buzz. But I heard you guys talk about that on the, you know, before I hopped on, how the arena, the stadium deal seems like it's going through. I think that's just, you know, so exciting, going to be awesome to see. And hopefully, I'm looking forward to get to some games, because I know right now it makes it a bit harder with the location of the stadium. So I can't wait to get downtown. And I think you said 2030, that should be ready.
Yeah, 2030.
Nice. Well, I love it, because I'll still be here. So
yes, indeed.
Yeah. That's the good thing about that 8-year extension, Jacob.
Yeah, you know where you're going to be. Jacob, I thought it was awesome. Talking about guys playing well, for Dylan Strome to get that hat trick last night. One of the unsung guys on the roster, it feels like at times, but leads the team in points, assists. I thought he was so good all year long, and that was kind of cool. What does he mean to you guys?
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's been very consistent all year and produced for us all year. And, you know, I go way back with Stromer through the Arizona days, and, you know, he's somebody who, you know, we came into the league together, you know, around the same time. So, you know, we go way back, and he's just a guy who I've always really enjoyed spending time with. And, you know, getting to know him and see him, you know, really mature and grow up and, you know, have a family now has been awesome. And he's a guy that the guys love in the room. And, you know, obviously, like I said, he's been producing for us, and he is for sure going to be a really big part of, you know, our success, you know, in the postseason here. So, I'm really happy for him. I know, you know, everybody knows he's a big stats guy, and I know he's always pumped up when he's, you know, hitting career highs. And so, you know, we're happy to see him, you know, accomplish all those great things.
Well, Jacob, amazing season for you and for the team. Let's wrap it up with a win against Pittsburgh, get a little momentum, and let's go win a playoff series. We'll catch up with you soon. Thanks so much. We appreciate you,
buddy.
It's been fun.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it has been a blast. So I appreciate it, and hopefully we'll chat soon here.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling deep into the postseason. Jacob Chikrin of the Capitals on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Welcome back to the Junks on an open line Thursday, 800-636-106.
I think Dowder's going to be on.
Okay.
All right.
Wait a minute.
Is he on right now?
Oh,
There he is.
Okay. Very good.
Come on, man. Money doesn't change him.
It's the doubter.
Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. It's Nick Dowd, powered by Verizon.
We didn't think you were going to wake up.
I mean, I figured you'd get six milli in your pocket. Yeah. That's it. No more calling the junks.
Yeah. Well, I did tell you my price went up, so here we go.
Do you think,
congratulations. That's awesome. Yeah, congrats. Awesome news.
Yeah, it's great. You know, sometimes we talk about these things.
Keep saving that money.
Will your lifestyle change at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I might get a Ferrari. I don't know. Maybe we'll get a new house, maybe a couple houses. I might get a house to nap in on game days.
Yeah. Perfect.
No, it won't change at all, no. I mean, what you really got to think about is, if anything, you know, you got to be telling the wife to, myself and the wife, to tighten it up because, you know, Carbs is forcing me into retirement with his speech. He seems like
he's going to retire as a cat.
I know.
It's a two-year deal, right?
I kind of looked around. I'm like, wait, but I got more. I can play after this.
Yeah. Hey, Dowder, it is very cool when the team owner, Ted Leonsis, tweets. He says, heart and soul, Nick Dowd, terrific player and teammate and even better person. We love him and his fantastic family. Grateful for his service to the team and the community. Happy he's with us going forward. So, like, not every player gets that from the owner. So that had to feel special that Ted, you know, went to social media and talked about how happy he was that you're still in the fold going forward.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, you know, I would say I have a pretty, I guess, like, player to owner relationship with Ted. Like, as far as it goes, is where, like, you know, he'll come around to the locker room and he'll say hi to the guys, and he always does a great job of making everyone feel welcome, and he knows, you know, everybody's names. He knows my wife's name. Like, you know, he does a great job of that. So I'm always, you know, to say hi to him, shake his hand, talk to him for a really brief second. And then we've done, he's been at a couple of charitable things too, mm-hmm. that we did with the Caps that I've got to speak with him a little bit, but I'm not on Twitter. So my wife actually sent me that, similar to what you guys just did. And I thought that was pretty cool. You know, it was, like you said, not every owner is, you know, public about the guys that they sign. And so, yeah, it was pretty special. I really appreciated that.
So Dowder, tell us about how big maybe the last win was, if it was big at all after the two losses against Columbus. And I know Saturday was a different lineup. You can talk about that. But then you lose to them on Sunday. So I got to believe turning around in the last game was big for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was huge. I think it honestly was one of those games that we really, really needed to play well in it and win in. I mean, obviously you want the result, right? But you can say that even on Sunday, analytically, actually, and then, you know, even like how we felt, we played well. Like, we outchanced them almost 2-1 in the game. You know, we ended up only scoring one goal, and we still lose, so it still hurt and it still sucked. But I thought there was some, you know, well, actually, I know there was some good stuff to build on in that game, despite the result. Mm-hmm. But I thought against the Islanders, we really needed to play well in that game. And it wasn't just about, like, playing, you know, like, oh, we play a good hockey game. It was like I felt like we played back to, like, what had won us 50-plus games in the regular season type of style, right? Like, we were calm, we were collected, like, you know, we our power play does well, our penalty kill does well, our goalie played well, our 5-on-5 was, you know, like, you know, pretty stymie and relentless, and we, you know, all of our guys, we all kind of played the same way, and we took advantage of opportunities, and, you know, we win the game. So I thought it was good. I mean, not only did the guys feel good about it, you know, Dylan Strome had a career high in goals that game, which was special individually. And then Chucky played well, but, you know, like I said, I think it was like we just needed that team game, right? We needed to play well as a whole. And I thought we did that.
Dowder, I have to go back to when the team found out that you signed the extension, when you guys were watching film in the locker room. Yeah. So you grab a drink out of the Caps little mini cooler, which, by the way, is very, very cool. I need to get one of those myself. What was the celebratory drink? It looked like a Coors Light. It could have been an energy drink. We don't know. Inquiring minds need to know. What were you chugging to celebrate with the teammates in the locker room?
Yeah, that was definitely Coors Light, you know.
Okay, good.
If they want to, they're looking for a sponsorship, I'm more than happy to do that. But, yeah, it was yeah, I just thought it'd be a good idea to have a drink at 11:30 in the morning.
I'd be drinking multiple. Hey,
how much time passed between, like, you inking the contract and your teammates finding out about it? It's a pretty quick turnaround?
Yeah. I mean, I got it done. It kind of all came to fruition the day before, around lunchtime. It was a game day, so it wasn't like I was, you know, talking to, it wasn't like I was, you know, had the opportunity to go in and sign or, you know, do anything like that on a game day. Cause I was heading down for a nap, as you guys know, take my nap seriously. And, I ended up getting it. I ended up signing it after the game on the bus, by myself on my phone.
Wow.
The guys found out the next day.
You signed your contract?
Which is pretty typical, actually. Okay. Like that's I think of all the of the five or six deals that I've signed, if I'm thinking this correctly, I've only signed one of them in actual person. Wow. And that was in Rob Tillotson's office, you know, standing up next to his desk. And you know, I was just happened to be at home, right? So it was just, oh, this is easier. Let's just sign it this way.
DocuSign. Cool.
Yeah, DocuSign. Yeah, I had to pay a $15 membership. I'll be passing
you can
that
afford
over.
It.
I'll be passing that over to management later.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. So there's one game left, obviously, tonight. You know who you're going to play in the playoffs. It's going to be the Canadiens. And we'll talk about that in a second. But has Carbs kind of told you what tonight's going to be like? Is it just going to kind of be like a warm-up, or are you going to, you know, a lot of starters kind of rest a little bit? How's it going to work out tonight, do you think?
Yeah, we haven't quite talked about that yet, honestly. I mean, yesterday was the video session. We went over some important things, like, you know, some things that can happen in playoffs and some certain specific situations that we needed to touch on, just because we had a moment to do that. And I think tonight will be, you know, very similar to the last game we played. I mean, you know, this is the Penguins are historically a tough team to play for the Washington Capitals. I mean, this has always been a great rivalry, as you guys know, and you know, this is a good building to play in. You know, I wouldn't look at it as anything other than you know, this is game 82. We're looking to play well. We want to finish out the season well, just like we did, you know, as we played against the Islanders. And I'm not quite sure if they're going to rest guys or not. You know, we haven't talked about that.
Gotcha.
All right, so let's get into Montreal. The last time you played them, you beat them in overtime. But that was way back on January 10th. What can fans expect from the Canadiens? You know, we always want to know, who should we be hating on their team? Who's annoying on their team?
Yeah, who's a good
guy?
This is
a thorn on the side that we can just all boo.
Who's a good guy to put in the crosshairs for the series?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not going to do that yet. I'm sure that guy will reveal himself.
Yeah.
Well, because in the past, it's been like that St. Louis guy, right? Remember
Marty St. Louis? But that was a while ago.
I know, but super annoying.
Yeah.
What kind of system do they run? I mean, are they kind of a faster pace?
Definitely like a younger team, really, really high-end skill from a couple of their players, like individual skill, like guys that will try and take you on one-on-one, a little high, you know, maybe a little bit more higher risk, if you can consider it that way, being that they do try and play some one-on-one hockey, but also, you know, like they have the ability to make a lot of plays. So I would say, of a fast team, a team that can really create on the rush, you know, and then I think it'll be our job to prevent that speed from getting wound up by, you know, making them stop in their D zone and play defense. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, it's not like there's a secret recipe to winning playoff hockey games. You know, the defense gets tighter, the goalies get better, the special teams get better. You know, so it'll be the same, the similar things, right? Like you have to play well as a group, mm-hmm. special teams will be a factor like they always are in every series. And we're going to have to make them defend. For sure.
I hope game one, because the playoffs actually start Saturday. St. Louis plays Winnipeg game one. Colorado plays Dallas game one. I hope game one is Sunday afternoon, like a 3:30 game. That would be awesome. Do you have any idea when game one is going to be? Or you're kind of waiting for that?
I have no clue. Yeah, I mean, I think with the fact that they just won last night, the NHL is probably pulling all that together.
Right.
Yeah, but no, I got no clue. I mean, I guess I don't really have a preference, to be honest.
Gotcha.
What's it like playing on the Bell Center and on the road? Because I was just watching their clinching game on the highlights, and it seemed
crazy,
ridiculous.
Yeah. It's definitely one of my top like three or four rinks to play in, and like cities to travel to. It's just it's a great city. They got great restaurants. Stay in a nice hotel there, and the atmosphere is always good. It's obviously a historic building. It's them, Chicago, Boston, Montreal. Let me see here.
What's Toronto? Remember. Toronto, maybe?
No, not so much Toronto, no.
You don't like Toronto?
It's not special.
It's not as special, I would say, as a Chicago or Montreal, yeah.
All right.
Well, Doubter, we've appreciated having you on throughout the season. It's been great.
Time to focus
great
now,
getting
bro.
To know you, and best of luck to the Caps going forward. And congrats to you and your family on that 2-year extension. It's well deserved.
Thank By the guys. Way, real question, quick question as we let you go. What's the protocol like for the playoff beard? Did you do one last good shave before? How's that work?
Yeah, some guy. I personally like to shave right before and then give it a clean, fresh playoff start. You know,
right.
But some guys roll right into it, you know. I mean, I actually just shaved, 2 days ago. So I usually get that stuff done on the road, so I don't completely crush my bathroom at home.
Right, nice. Smart. You know? Leave the mess there.
There you go. Yeah.
Work smarter,
yeah. I mean,
not
clean
harder.
It up, obviously.
All right. Well, let's get a nice shaggy one.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's the point, right?
Yeah.
That's the goal.
All right. Thank
Doubter.
You, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. That's Nick Dowd from the Capitals, powered by Verizon.
Thursday, you're going to have the NFL draft on opposite Natso's. Friday, you're going to have NFL draft round two. Juan Soto in town at Nats Park for the first time as a Met, taking on the Nationals.
Won't that be fun?
And you're going to have Caps Canadians game three, first time they hit the road. Like, this is why we do this, man. This is why we are here. Next week's going to be damn good. How you feeling, by the way? We found out last night officially that it's Montreal, not Columbus, taking on the Capitals. So the Canadians, for those of you that don't track hockey too closely, since January 1st, are the 11th best team in the NHL with 54 points. They've been playing playoff hockey for a couple of months because, like the Caps last year, they had to scratch and claw and fight tooth and nail to get into the playoffs. But they had a chance to clinch 4 games ago and lost 3 consecutive tilts before last night in game 82 of their season when they finally got a win that was a little tighter than it should have been. It was a 1-goal game over Carolina, who sat 7 players last night as they got ready for the playoffs. But they hung on. They got an empty netter to go up to at the end of the game, and they clinched the playoffs. How you feeling about Montreal as the opponent?
Incredibly nervous.
You would have been nervous against anybody based on the Capitals or because it's Montreal?
This is based on the Caps. Far less about Montreal for me.
Did you want Montreal or Columbus?
It's who I wanted less. Like, I do not want to see Columbus for the indefinite future. No. They're terrifying me. So by default, it's Montreal.
So that's what I'm saying. Right? I think people are nervous largely, but I think it's based on the Capitals not finishing the season well, not playing that well, and not being healthy. Your starting goaltender is still not back. Your best player at even strength statistically is still not available, Alexi Protas. And without Thompson and without Protas, it could be a different series. So that's where the nerves seem to be coming from for me. Not necessarily big bad Montreal.
Right. This to me, any first-round opponent, if it was Buffalo, Chicago, teams that Washington hasn't played very well against here over the last month plus, the last 20 games, this is not the same team as the first 60. And they happen to be the most recent 20 games.
So if they were playing the Flyers, who finished in last place,
I would be
in
terrified.
The Metro, you'd also be nervous.
Yeah, watching them not play well against non-playoff teams. Some of them, you can explain them away. They're resting this guy or that guy. But, you know, some of the regression was normal and natural. You can't shoot
13% from the field, so to speak. I mean, it's hockey from the ice, for an entire season. That regression was going to happen. That's normal. That's fine. You're going to give up slightly more goals. That's normal. That's fine. Not 25th in the league, which is what they've been over the last month plus. They just haven't been the same team. There have been periods, there have been moments where they show you the glimpses. They show you how good they can be, and then that's surrounded with, you know, not that great hockey. I understand the reasons for it. I mean, some people will call them excuses. Call them what you want. Sure. I get the reasons. I just also haven't seen them overcome those things. And until I do, I'm going to be pretty fearful that it's harder to get it back than people are counting on. And the injuries you mentioned.
Yeah, Washington finished losing 6 of 10. Montreal went 7-1-2 down the stretch. So that's going to lead to, I think, some 10,000-foot viewing of the matchup and some nerves. But I still would just rather be the better hockey team on paper going into the matchup. And that's pretty clearly the Capitals. Mm-hmm. You don't get to 111 points on accident.
You don't luck box your way to that. No.
You don't stub your toe into a division title in a loaded Metro or into the best team in the conference, which they were by 5 points. I mean, they ran away with the East. Think about that. They it's, as a track race, they were sitting down as everyone else was finishing with the entire conference. And so they played with their food a little bit down the stretch. They mixed, they matched, they sat guys. And because of that, they didn't look as good. Where my nerves do come into play, though, I'm confident that they can win and will win in round one. But what makes me feel less confident, I go from like, oh, I feel 85-90% good about them beating Montreal. That number lowers because I'm still waiting on an update on Logan Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Boudreau's on the postgame show on Monumental the other night, a former NHL head coach suggesting pretty clearly, he says, Charlie Lindgren's going to have to be the guy in the first round because Thompson hasn't practiced, hasn't taken any shots, hasn't played in any games. They can't just throw him in there in game one of the playoffs without ramping him up, and it would have already had to start. So according to Boudreau, and I'm not saying he knows anything, but he knows a lot about hockey, and he's a former head coach, he's saying it's going to be Charlie Lindgren's neck to start this series. Well, Lindgren's a backup for a reason, and he was not nearly as good as Thompson this season. And while he had a really good outing last time out, we're going to have to lean on that one because he's not playing tonight in the series and season finale with Pittsburgh. Clay Stevenson is, who's making his debut coming up from Hershey. But not having Thompson bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
That's your best goalie. That's the guy who could steal a series if he's right. And the bigger injury, honestly, is Protas. I mean, I would ask Caps fans that. We can open up the phones if you guys want. 800-636-1067. What's the bigger issue? What's the bigger problem? Not having Logan Thompson if he can't go for a good chunk of this first round, or not having Alexi Protas. I think Protas, who had even strength 5-on-5 this year, was one of the statistical best players in the league, a 30-goal scorer mm-hmm. who is dominant and helps you on the PK and, you know, does things, no power play time, but in every other phase of the game was excellent this year. I actually think not having him is a bigger deal. And based on the rumblings I've heard, he's not going to be back at the start of this series.
No.
Might be deep into the series before we see him. So if that's the case, that bothers me. It does.
And rightfully so. Those are two really impactful folks. I mean, for me, it's Thompson by a hair, but I don't object to your Protas
logic
angle.
Being goaltending's more important?
Yeah, just it's going to come down. Someone's got to make a power play stop. Someone's got to rob somebody. You're going to have your goalie be one of your best players. Otherwise, the whole thing is moot. But your points, I mean, he's their best 5-on-5 all-around player, Alexi Protas is. I don't think that's a debate.
Well, let's pose that question again. I want to open up the listener lines on that. 800-636-1067. We found out today that the Caps play on Monday and Wednesday at home, games 1 and 2 of their playoff series. We found out late last night they're playing the Montreal Canadiens, so we're reacting to that to get started here on Grant and Danny. But I guess that should be question one. Which of those injuries has you more concerned? It seems like Thompson's probably closer to playing, and maybe he could be back for game one, but that's certainly not something the team is letting on, if it's the case at this point. But if, hypothetically, you don't have either to start the series, which seems very plausible, who are you more worried about not being able to contribute? Thompson in the cage, or Protas, who's been excellent and has been a star this season? 800-636-1067. What's your confidence in Lindgren? Because I get the sense, and I hate saying this, because man, do I love Chucky. Not only has he been phenomenal on the show many times, but just as a dude, you want to talk about an all-time
yep.
dressing room guy. Last year, he carried them to the playoffs. Charlie Lindgren was fantastic in 2024. Look at the stretch run. He was nails. He has not played at that level this season, and I get the sense that a lot of Caps fans I talk to just feel better about him being able to play at a high level in the playoffs, where I'm really nervous about him in the playoffs.
I'm incredibly nervous about him. That's my, I don't know if it's my one seed in terms of nerves, but it's on the podium. I mean, it might be my Mount Rushmore of nerves. I listen, I'm with you. Great dude. This is one of those things that's awkward to say. I like the guy a ton. His story is awesome. I was thrilled for him that he was able to get the extension. But right now, I don't trust him. I don't trust him to make up for any of the mistakes. I don't trust him to steal a game, to steal a period, to withstand the barrage. I don't know. I'm not feeling great about him in the net right now.
Rebound control has been a struggle. You know, watching him down the stretch this season, there's just too many second and at times even third opportunities. The numbers are not staggeringly different, but they're pretty obviously different. Remember, Logan Thompson, right before his injury, he took a puck to the head. Mm-hmm. Concussion, has been dealing with that since, hasn't played. But at the moment of his injury, he had pretty much, I think, played his worst 2 weeks or so of the season leading up to that. Just scuffling a little bit. It was what they call the dog days of the season, not crazy.
You mean Thompson, talking about?
Who did I say?
No, just make sure I was clarifying.
Yeah. So Logan Thompson's injury. And when Thompson went out at that moment, his numbers had come back to the pack a little bit. He had mm-hmm. gone from being the clear number two goaltender in the league this season in the Vezina chase to, you know, a little more human. 2.49 goals against, 9.10 save percentage. Lindgren's got a 2.73 goals against, which is respectable. Mm-hmm. An 8.96 save percentage. You'd like to see that over 90. So, again, numbers aren't as good as Thompson's, but when you just look at them, it doesn't quite look the same. But for whatever reason, it feels like Thompson comes up with the huge save at the big moment, only lost six games this
season.
Part
of it's a feeling thing. I mean, I'm so uneasy anytime Lingard's got to make a decision on the puck, like to handle the puck or whatever.
Behind the cage, I agree.
Whether it's playing it behind the cage or to come out, not come out, what am I doing? The uncertainty in a moment as magnified as the playoffs. I feel like we are just standing on the edge of a knife towards meltdown. Like, I think he's got one game over his last five or six where he's actually saved 90-plus percent of the shots. I'm not feeling great about Chucky in net right now.
So I'll always be nervous about the hockey playoffs because they're
the hockey playoffs.
They're
a
crapshoot, and being better than the opponent matters less than in every other sport. And it's just that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying, are you hungry and it's dinner time? I'm always going to be hungry. I guess the question is, how hungry? How nervous am I? They should beat Montreal. This is a series they should win. I do think it evens the playing surface a little bit. If Thompson can't go and if Protas is out, now you're probably better than them, not substantially better than them. With those two guys, I think you're decidedly better.